You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Henday built. And Alex, the Giants, hey, I think they're one of the surprise teams. Not many people at the start of the year had Giants as a playoff team. They got off to a great start, just continued it, earned their way in. Now they're getting healthy. I guess tell me about the health factor and how much you think that's going to play in this weekend for the Giants and their opportunity to upset the Vikings.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I'm really, really happy to be here and really excited to speak about the Giants. And I'll tell you what, when the season started, I was very concerned that this would be another rebuilding kind of scary year that was full of downs mostly. You know, last year we were QB sneaking on second and third downs, but now we're looking at a postseason appearance, and I'm pretty excited about it. And I know everybody is too. All the Giants fans and even the Bills fans are hyped for us because we have Brian Daboll and Joe Shane doing a really great job down here. And, of course, we got Isaiah Hodgins from their practice squad a couple weeks ago. But the health factor, as you mentioned, is a big one, right? Getting Adoree Jackson back, getting Xavier McKinney back, getting Azeez Ojulari back. These are guys that, you know, didn't play much against the Vikings a couple weeks ago, specifically Adoree Jackson and McKinney. And having them back in the secondary should help that pass rush significantly. And Justin Jefferson, while you cannot stop him, you can try to limit him. And, you know, Adoree Jackson is a key variable in helping to mitigate him and try to slow him down at least a little bit to give this defense a chance to get off the field and provide Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley with an opportunity to score more points.
I remember in the draft year, I zeroed in on Azeez. I was like, that's a guy they got to get. They get him now, and then another healthy. The other side, Thibodeau. Do you think this is actually, would you say this is a legitimate pass rush option with these two guys both on the field?
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at Azeez Ojulari, the guy had like five or six sacks in four games. He was absolutely electric. Now, the injuries have been a little bit more prevalent this season with him. As you said, during the draft, people were talking about him as a potential 11th overall pick. The fact that he dropped to 50th was an absolute blessing in disguise for the Giants. And, of course, his brother, B.J. Ojulari, I believe, is also a linebacker in this upcoming draft class. So maybe the Giants look after him, too, and maybe connect the brothers. But that pass rush with Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari, two young studs, and personally, the financial implications of that are tremendous. You know, having two pass rushers that have that much upside on rookie deals allows you to spend elsewhere. Quarterback, you know, running back, those are two big conversations to have with Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and their extensions coming up. But the health of those two guys, the main thing about stopping, you know, the Vikings, aside from stopping or limiting Justin Jefferson, is really putting pressure on Kirk Cousins and forcing him to make mistakes, because he will fail a few balls. And having McKinney right behind that, getting him back is another big factor, which should help the Giants kind of hopefully win this game.
Alex, so let's look at the Vikings, man. Some weeks they look great, and then other weeks people are like, they're smoke and mirrors. They're not that good. Defensively, how can Kirk Cousins has a propensity to make some ill-advised plays, right? But they've also got arguably the best receiver in the game. So who's going to get the Jefferson matchup, number one? And then how do they disrupt Cousins? What's the best way to go about it?
Well, if I had to guess, I mean, Adoree Jackson, if he plays, he's going up against Justin Jefferson. I imagine he'll travel with him. Last time around, we had Fabian Moreau, who before the season was kind of this free agent outcast. Nobody was really signing him. We bring him in. And the one thing that I've been talking about recently, and which I think is kind of prevalent and worthwhile discussing, is the fact that Brian Daboll and his coaching staff have gotten the most out of players that otherwise would not be playing on other rosters. You know, you're looking at, you know, guys like maybe Richie James or Isaiah Hodgins, or just so many of these players were practice squatters before the season or even during the season. And we've managed to make the postseason, the playoffs, with a team composed of guys that really should not be starting on NFL teams. And I think that's a beautiful thing to look at with the coaching staff. But as you said, you know, that matchup against Justin Jefferson, Adoree Jackson has to be the guy there. And putting pressure on Kirk Cousins, you got Wink Martindale. Your unlimited amount of blitz packages with him. You don't know what he's going to do. And getting all these pieces back, it only opens up the playbook for him and allows him to extrapolate on the strengths of these players. And you know, you're going to see a lot of linebacker blitzes. You're going to see maybe Julian Loves, maybe McKinney, maybe even Darnay Holmes from the slot, you know, rushing off the edge. We're going to see some really aggressive style of defensive play. Throw Kirk Cousins off his game, and hopefully we can hold it down in man coverage with Adoree Jackson on Justin Jefferson.
Alex, you know, obviously Saquon's a big part of the running game, but so is Danny Jones. Do you think that they're going to let the big man rumble a little bit more since we are on the playoffs and try to kind of change the look?
I would love that. Daniel Jones has almost the same rushing stats as Josh Allen this year. Not a lot of people realize that. He's been so good on the ground with his legs. And, you know, looking at his passing numbers, they're nothing crazy. He has the lowest interception rate in his career, so you're seeing that his passing has gotten better, his pocket presence has gotten better. But what I really like that Diggle has done is given him opportunities to run on the ground. Mainly when the play breaks down, he's able to have that confidence and know, I can take off running. The one thing I would like him to do is slide a little bit more, because I feel like he dives headfirst into these things. I don't know, maybe in the offseason they should be having him play some baseball, sliding to second base, just learning how to do that, because it seems like a risky play every time he does it. But I agree with you. Let the big guy rumble. Let him go. We saw it against the Colts, 91 rushing yards on 11 carries and two touchdowns on the ground. The guy can do it. That should be a way for the Giants to stay on the football field, stay on the field on offense, and maintain that possession for the majority of the game.
Alex Wilson joins us on Sports Leader TSN 1206. Now you go to the Giants offense, or the Giants offense against the Vikings defense. And you know, we've seen some teams shred the Vikings defense, and then we've seen the Vikings defense completely shut them down. Do you know which defense you're going to get? Like, are there certain matchups? Like, when you've dove into this Vikings defense, what do they match up well against? And then conversely, what are the Giants going to have to do to try to exploit the defense? Because we've seen them on both ends this year. They've either been really good some games, or then they get lit up the next week.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And the Vikings generally are not really good at anything on defense. I'd say they're slightly better when it comes to run defense than pass coverage, but their pass defense is ranked 30th or 31st in the league, and then their run defense is 20th, around that range. So in terms of yards per game in either category. So you're really going to look to beat them through the air. The problem is the Giants don't have the most explosive passing game, so I would probably lean towards setting the tone with Saquon Barkley. If you get the run game going, open it up with play action, and then, you know, start slinging the ball downfield and take some shots downfield when they're starting to commit to that run game, starting to realize, you know, we're getting beat too much. Saquon, I think he's going to be running mad. I was just saying today against the Tennessee Titans in week one, you saw that different version of him, 164 yards and a score on I think it was 18 carries. He looked different. I think he's going to really pick it up in this game and really showcase in a wild card what he can do. And this is the first opportunity in a postseason game for Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. I expect them to elevate their level of play.
What about the offensive line for the Giants versus the defensive line for Minnesota? I swear the offensive line has been a concern for fans for a long time. Where do you see this matchup coming out?
The offensive line will always terrify me. As a Giants fan the last couple of years, you can't get away from being scared this offensive line is going to implode at any given moment. But they have gotten better as the season has progressed, which I definitely think is exciting to see. You know, Evan Neal has definitely been the weaker link, but he's a rookie, and I have faith that he'll step up. In run blocking, he's been really solid, but in pass protection, he definitely has his weaknesses. At right guard, you have Mark Lewinsky, who definitely has been a little bit polarizing this year. He's been a little bit better as of late, but altogether has kind of been a liability. John Feliciano at center has gotten better lately. Hopefully Ben Bredesen is able to play. I believe he will be, and he's been solid when healthy. And then, of course, you have your second-team All-Pro, Andrew Thomas, who has been just, you know, lights out for the majority of the season. So if I had to guess, I'd say this team will step up. The offensive line will step up, but Vikings have a decent pass rush. So, you know, really, it's Evan Neal. He's got to step up. He's got to be the one to elevate his game. If he steps up, the entire offensive line will be fine, and I think Daniel Jones will be able to throw the ball a lot more effectively.
Alex, quickly, to the other games in the NFC, specifically the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. What do you make of that game? Who do you like?
I'm never going to pick the Cowboys, so definitely the Buccaneers. I mean, the Buccaneers are definitely a team that I feel has liabilities, and they're not that good, but I will never root for the Cowboys, so that's definitely your answer.
All right. Well, let's appreciate your time. Enjoy the game.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.